Want to be a part of the conversation? Then let us know on the TNT Radio Interactive Live Chat Room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. Welcome to Lynn's Warriors, ground zero in the war to protect our children. And now, Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Let's do this. Welcome, Warriors. This is your Warrior Saturday, July 8th, 2023 on today's News Talk 24/7 Global TNT Radio. And I am Lynn Shaw, the Warrior. And today you are all my Warriors for the next hour and beyond. We try to cram a lot of information in because there's so much we want to share with you. We are going to tell you what's happening around the United States and also certainly around the world. We'll touch upon with families and children, and we're going to tell you how to stay safe online and in real time and how you can protect yourselves. Remember, what do I always tell you? It is 2023. You can no longer sit on the sidelines. We all have to do something. Thank you for joining us. Let's settle in, listen up, get ready to take your weekly warrior notes. You know the drill out there, Warriors. We have so much to cover. We're coming to you live from New York City. Let's rock and roll. I like to start with the program may be disturbing because it's all true. And I also like to say community creates change. I want you to remember these three words every single day because it's the truth. There is so much going on wherever you are, in your town, in our country, around the globe. But if we break it down and we focus on what's happening in our own homes, in our communities, we can truly, I believe, make a difference. We cannot become so overwhelmed that we close that door and do nothing. That is my greatest fear. And I am not a fearful person. I want all of you to become warriors. It starts, though, right with you. I can't stress that enough. We want to always at the Warriors, you know, we want to organize you. We want to raise awareness. We want to educate you because this is the only way I can see making a difference with everything happening in our country today. Building a base, you know, of advocates, of warriors. So you go out and take the smallest fact you learn here on the Warriors or a piece of information or you retweet something or you share it on Facebook or you talk to your neighbor, you talk to your child. That is making a difference. I want to start with, because it so many times people come up to me and say, why are you so passionate about trafficking? Why are you so passionate about digital safety? Why do you talk about this nonstop? Let me explain my story a little bit. I have never been a victim of human trafficking. I am not a survivor of it, any type of sexual exploitation. And I think that's important to share with the audience, with all of you, because I woke up one day and I can only compare it, you know, my whole entire background, which is four decades have been in the entertainment industry, whether it's Broadway producing, Hollywood. I started out in the music business after college. And I woke up one day a couple of years ago after learning about researching, working with a client who was writing a book about domestic violence. And in doing the research, I could not believe what was going on, not only with domestic violence, it was intersecting with human trafficking and happening in the United States. And I did not realize, sure, I knew about domestic violence, sure, I knew about human trafficking, but I did not actually realize what is going on in our own backyards. And I woke up one day and said, I am going to become a warrior. Who will stop me? Nobody. I'm going to go out there. I am going to talk about it, but I'm going to provide truths and facts. I am going to connect myself with people working in the field, making a difference, because I believe also coming together, community, that is a word you will hear me use all the time. Community, if we come together, there's power in numbers. But we have to also be careful. We have to share correct information, correct facts, and also, you know, take easy steps for you. Again, not to overwhelm anybody, just to be the warriors that can, you know, bear the burden and come to you with something easy to do, with common sense, something attainable. Because I also find we know all of these issues with the kids, with online safety, real-time safety, everything going on, education, medical, society, the entertainment field, what they're throwing at kids today and parents, is dark. It's ugly. So I don't want to keep talking about that because we know it, right? We're educated, but we want take actions. We want things that we can actually implement in our daily lives. And I can't wait for our guest in a couple of minutes to join us, Lisa Honnold, because she is the director, a founder also, of the Center for Online Safety. We're going to save all that talk for Lisa. I'm very excited. I've been waiting a bit to have her on the program, and this is going to be very educational. So sharpen those pencils and get ready. But, you know, I want to start with talking about something in the headlines, the movie that is currently playing called Sound of Freedom. I want to talk about this because I want to put out there, this is actually a miracle that this movie even made it to the big screens, as we like to say. And it was a tremendous undertaking on the part of Angel Studios. It is not Hollywood. I don't like everybody saying, well, you know, it's getting traction because it's Hollywood. If anything, warriors, it's anti-Hollywood. It is a group of individuals coming together who have worked in the field of human trafficking, who have worked in the field, Angel Studios, of putting out human interest movies and wanting to really make a difference in society and do things that I consider, and I think I am qualified to say, since I've been connected to Hollywood, it's anti-Hollywood. And Sound of Freedom, we're going to block out all the noise, anything you hear about Sound of Freedom. Let me just give you some facts. It opened on 4th of July, freedom, right? Independence Day. I, in New York City, went on July 4th with my husband. The theater was packed. The showings are selling out. Now, fast forward, we're a few days later. I want everybody to know it is still number one at the box office. It is still packing them in theaters. It is right now approaching, maybe by the time you hear this, you know, right now, 30 million in the box office. And the good news is most of these tickets are bought tickets because Angel Studios has put out a wonderful pay it forward program. And the pay it forward is go to angel.com. That's the website. And the program is certainly buy a ticket, but certainly we want everybody to see the movie. We just want to open this discussion up about human trafficking. That's it. That's the bottom line for this movie. Open up the discussion, take it out from, you know, being hidden, because it is dark and ugly. We can all agree on that. But let's take it out. It is happening. You know, the movie takes place in Colombia. The movie hits upon Mexico. Sure, but we have it right here in the United States. But this is a global message of what can happen. What can happen to kids? And anytime we can talk about this and provide the slightest, opening up that discussion, the slightest what we can all do as individuals, this is a good thing. So I want everybody to judge for themselves. Go to angel.com, certainly buy a ticket, pay it forward, buy a ticket for somebody else. If you can't afford a ticket, that's fine. Just apply. It's right there. Get your free ticket. Go and see it. But then talk about what you saw. Sure, it's hard to take. It's the reality in 2023. We've got to start talking about it. We have not done a good job. A lot of this predation, I'm digressing a bit, warriors, you know, is taking place on the internet. Now we're entering into that AI, that chat, you know, GPT, that is on the forefront. And we're going to talk to our guest, Lisa Honnold, about all of that. But we haven't done a good job, we can all admit, with the internet in safeguarding our children. And I find it so amazing that we'll wear seatbelts and bicycle helmets and talk about don't drink and drive. But we don't have those same safeguards for the internet. And the internet basically was born around 1996, and we're still not up to speed with it all. And so I am in fear. Again, warriors, I'm not an alarmist, but I'm in fear that it's here, AI, the big question mark, the big unknown, because every tech expert I speak with or work with will say to me, when I say, explain it to me, where do you think this is all going? How will this affect children, parents, our society? They all end up telling me the exact same thing. We do not know. Again, it is up to us because big tech has not done a good enough job. You know, they put the burden of protecting kids and families on the parents and the kids, and that is not right. So while we fight for these protections through legislation, through community awareness, through giving you, you know, take actions you can join us in, we've got to get a handle on this AI and everything that's really coming down the pike. It's really here. It just hasn't been fully launched. So I wanted to get back to Sound of Freedom. You know, it's really getting knocked in traditional media, mainstream media, I'm urging all of you, don't pay attention to any of that. Go see it for yourself. Judge for yourself. Open up the conversation. It is not a movie for children, so do not bring children to this. It is up to you. You have parental autonomy if you want to bring your teenagers. Just do your research. I did another video. You can go to lynnswarriors.org. You can see this also on my YouTube channel, Lynn's Warriors. Everything's named Lynn's Warriors. I made it very simple for you. And, you know, get a little more a meat about what this is. And the thing is, these are good people who now want to help end this human trafficking. We have open borders. We got to face the realities, warriors. Kids are flooding in unaccompanied. The current administration, they admit, we have 85, 86, 87, we don't know, unaccompanied kids in the United States now. Where are they? And that figure was put out a couple of months ago. We know there are more. We want to protect all children, our children, unaccompanied children. This is criminal. So go see Sound of Freedom, you know, and go pay it forward if possible. If not, please see it. Get your free ticket. But we have to talk about, you know, it is based on Tim Ballard, the founder of Operation Underground Railroad, a partner of the Warriors, in full disclosure. And he was a Homeland Security agent for about 10 years. And he was catching the predators. And then one day it dawned on him, but what about the kids? Yeah, I'm getting the predators. We're locking them up. But what's happening to the kids? And that got him. Like, I became a warrior and woke up one day and said, I got to do something. And I don't know where this came from within me, but it came. And the only thing I can say is it's like a calling maybe a nun or a priest gets, that I have a duty now. I have a duty to share information, to provide other, you know, guests here on the show that can give you additional information and also make it easy for you. Do that heavy lifting for you. And Tim Ballard, you know, it is based on his story. And if you call that a Hollywood version, call it whatever you want to call it. Don't believe things you read. Don't believe things you hear. I simply ask you to go see it for yourself and make a judgment. Because I looked at the audience. I'm always a judge. My years of working in entertainment, whether it was a Broadway show, I'd always be in the back of the audience. Anything in Hollywood, judging faces, reactions, the chatter, you know, leaving a theater. What are they saying? What's the buzz? And people were just taken aback. They just could not believe in the movie theater after Sound of Freedom. I listened to them going down the escalator onto the street. They want to know more. They can't believe it's happening here. That is something I hear all the time. I am here to tell you, all forms of human trafficking. And something we also don't talk about, we are talking about sex trafficking of children. We don't talk enough about labor trafficking. We don't talk enough about forced servitude, debt bondage. These are things, warriors, happening in the United States today, not in these other countries. People will say, no, I thought that happens over there, Thailand, Philippines, all those. No, it's happening in your backyard. I can guarantee you, every town, city, and rural area across America has a problem with human trafficking, with sexual exploitation, fueled certainly by the internet, by all of this information, by the algorithms, by kids feeling so vulnerable, they're giving away their information. And that's where we as the parents have to come in and parent up, get a little tougher, get on top of this, because we have so much going on. And I want to sort of finish up before we go to break and then get to our wonderful guest, and I can't wait, Lisa Honnold from Center for Online Safety. Right now, something to think about. 14 states, both Democratic and Republican, are working very hard to loosen up child labor laws. Now, I find this offensive, criminal, and you should too. So we're going to be digging deeper into that one, because what they are doing, why are they doing this? Why do we want kids, Iowa, as of July 1st, you can work in the summertime from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. if you're a minor. Doesn't that sound wrong? Interesting. During the school year, you can work 7 to 9. How are you supposed to go to school? I'm asking all these questions. Nobody seems to be talking about it. State of Iowa, you can work in a meatpacking plant. Everything we fought for that happened since, I think it was around 1936, where they began child legislation for safety purposes because kids were getting hurt. Now we have kids in Iowa that can serve liquor. I can't even begin to tell you, but I think you can imagine children serving liquor in a bar, in a restaurant, and adults there. What are we saying about our kids? Are we saying that because it seems to me in 2023, and I wouldn't have said this a year ago, our kids are merely just these little people that we're going to put in factories to work. We're going to put them in restaurants to work. We are going to use them for sex trafficking. We're going to use them for labor trafficking. So it tells me big corporations are complicit in these actions. Who wouldn't want a kid, I guess, that can work in a field all day long, who can't get workers' comp, who can't complain about wages? And really, think about all the illegal kids coming over the border. These minors, is the goal to put them to work? Because again, where did these 85, 6, 7, remember, we don't really have the exact number. That was just what we were told. You know, numbers were always told. We know they're always higher. Is the goal to put them to work in these factories and bars and restaurants and lumber yards and things that are dangerous? So warriors, we really have to talk about all this. We really have to, take action, because remember, more people are enslaved today in the United States than any other time in history, and millions are kids. So we really have to be yelling about this, be shouting about this and sharing the information and getting a hold of the internet and leveraging it for good. And speaking of the internet, coming up, Lisa Honnold will be joining us, Director of Center for Online Safety. Buckle up. Lisa is at the information forefront to help keep our kids and families safe. Lisa Honnold, when we return to Lynn's Warriors on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Pervoy Morich on TNT Radio.
The far left in New York City now are cracking down on coal and wood-fired pizzerias to fight climate change. And this great comedian and commentator, Scott Lobido, he called it the New York, not the, like the Boston Tea Party, the New York Pizza Party. He went to the city hall and threw pizzas into the entrance and got a summons from the police. But, they've crossed the Rubicon now. They're coming after my pizza, my coffee and my pizza. You know, that's what makes my world go around. It's just unbelievable. I mean, seriously, just every day we're in the twilight zone now. We've got Lagarde of the IMF is coming out and say climate change is causing inflation. Climate change is causing inflation. Coal and wood-fired pizza is causing climate change. Wait a minute. So that means pizza is causing inflation. If coal and wood-fired pizzas are causing climate change, and climate change is causing inflation, wow, I just discovered something amazing, right?
Pervoy Morich on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
There is a war on for your children. Children are under attack at every level and on every front, from the government, big tech, education, medical, Hollywood, and society. This is Lynn's Warriors with Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Warriors, it is such an honor to welcome Lisa Honnold to the Warriors today. Lisa is the founder and director of the Center for Online Safety, which is a national advocate for the online health and safety of children and teens. They spread awareness using technology intentionally and responsibility and being responsible. There is so much great stuff to say about Lisa, so bear with me, everybody, because I do want to showcase her extensive knowledge about everything. She is a cyber safety educator working to keep all kids safe and healthy online and offline also. Lisa is a national public speaker on digital wellness, cyber safety, intentional screens, and the best. Peaceful parenting. We all need that. She's got all kinds of things going on here. Her most important job, I don't want to hog the microphone, everybody. I want Lisa to speak to us. She's a mom. And we're going to talk all about that. The website, Warriors, centerforonlinesafety.com. And I am urging all of you right now to sign up for Lisa's newsletter. It is the best information out there. Welcome Lisa Honnold to the Warriors.
Thank you, Lynn. I'm excited to be here and be counted as a warrior.
Well, you know what? I've been waiting a little while to get you on, because I have to really tell you, when I say you have a great newsletter information, I truly mean that from the bottom of my heart, Lisa. And I want to thank you. I I really want to thank you because your information is so easy to understand and you provide such great up-to-date information about online safety because let's face it, it's changing every second, every day. And parents and caregivers, Lisa, the number one thing they tell me, they can't keep up with it. They're exhausted and they walk away. So therefore they do nothing and they need common sense. And that's you, Lisa.
Oh, that's a huge compliment. Thank you so much, Lynn. I try my best to remember that parenting is hard enough already and we need simple, actionable things. Otherwise it is, it's too scary. It's too big of a topic and we don't dive in.
You know what? You're a warrior. Just accept it. Wear the badge. I'm going to keep calling you a warrior. Let's go. We have a lot to discuss now.
Let's go.
Now, first of all, let's learn a little bit first about Lisa. How did you get started in all of this?
It started because I became a mom. Before my momness, I was a CPA. I was working in big business and having a blast. I became a mom. My heart broke open. And I realized along the way, as technology took up more and more of my kids' time, that one of my kids had a challenge that was way past what we were prepared to handle as parents. And I realized parents were not being prepared to handle all the technology challenges that come at us so fast, 24/7, because we didn't grow up with this level of technology and we didn't get an education in how to deal with all of this. So it's really hard to lead these conversations without practicing first.
Excellent. Let me just dive in. I have so many questions for you. You know, I constantly say, Lisa, that constantly seatbelts and bicycle helmets and all this safety stuff, don't drink and drive. I'm always saying it. But we've handed our children these devices, you know, and I compare it to opening your front door up and welcoming in the world, strangers. How would you describe the landscape in a couple of sentences right now, the online world?
I think that front door open analogy is a great one because right now we, as a nation in the United States, we do not have national standards around social media and around technology and protections in place for our kids. We have a lot of states that are trying to do this, but from a national perspective, we don't have those standards that some other countries have. It is not a safe place by default. People can reach out with bad intentions. You know, the internet is just a tool, right? It can be used for good or bad. And my main purpose with the Center for Online Safety is to keep kids protected. And so we have conversations about, you know, filtering the internet and monitoring what kids are doing so that you have a sense of if they're okay, if they need someone to step in as an adult with more judgment and knowledge about some of the things that can happen.
And our parents, but we're going to get into that. You know, parents are really trying hard, Lisa, to simply educate them. Because there's no judging. There's like no bad kids, no bad parents. This is just the world we live in now. So let's come together as a community. Let's talk about it openly and honestly, and let's take some great actions. Now, I want to get into what I think is so important recently in one of your newsletters you had about, you know, back to school, which is really just around the corner. I know the state of Florida, they start, I don't know, second week of August. To me, that's around the corner. Here in New York, we start right after Labor Day. But tell us about issues of what we should be preparing for now going back to school in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you know, going back to school triggers a lot of things for parents. Many times it's, oh, I've got to get my child their first phone because I need to get a hold of them or their first smartwatch. All of those types of technology, keeping in contact with kids, it triggers that. So there's lots of shopping right now for first phones and phones and that kind of thing. There's also this new issue that has taken front and center in 2023, and that's ChatGPT. That is going to change the landscape of how we even define what an education is through school. So ChatGPT is this brand new phenomenon that it's a large language model that allows us to have human-like conversations with the internet. They're personalized conversations. It's like a really smart search engine that can help answer questions, can assist you with things like writing an essay, writing a novel, or you know, planning a travel itinerary to Italy. It can help you do a lot of things, and it's free. And so from a school perspective, it's time for parents to take a look at what ChatGPT is. I've got a resource to help and start to think about, gosh, is my child going to be using that? What are the academic standards that our school has for that? Have they written any yet? Is that going to be something that happens over the summer, hopefully, so that in the fall they're prepared? This is going to be a huge issue in the fall because the temptation to cheat, to plagiarize, to use ChatGPT to write everything is out there. And we have to acknowledge that and talk to our kids about what our family standards are and then what the school standards are with consequences so that they know in advance that, you know, education is really important, that deep thinking, that deep learning is really important to us.
Lisa, it's completely frightening to me. And I'm really not any type of alarmist ever. After all, I'm a warrior. But every educator I'm speaking to, I'm like, is there anything in place going forward for all of this, you know, AI, the ChatGPT? Every single one of them will say to me, we don't have time for that. We don't know. No, I don't. They don't even know, a lot of them, what this is. So that to me is completely frightening. Another reason that we as the parents, you know, have to talk to the kids about all of this. And interestingly enough, many people here in New York, they're applauding this with their kids. A child, a friend of mine, the child gave a commencement speech, sixth grade, using ChatGPT, didn't tell anybody last month. And then when he announced at the end, oh, I use ChatGPT, the audience all like jumped to their feet clapping. And I thought, Lisa, this is weird. This is strange. They're clapping for this ChatGPT. I don't understand. So how are we going to better get to the parents and the teachers? I mean, I'm throwing out centerforonlinesafety.com to everybody I know. How can we make more of an impact with them? What should we do?
I think continuing to give examples about ChatGPT as a tool, the good, which we've talked a little bit about, and then the concerns, particularly for kids. The biggest concern I've got is that it's not human and it doesn't recognize red flags the way that a trusted adult could. If a child types in something around mental health or suicide, it doesn't know that that's a red flag. It doesn't know I need to get someone else involved. It's not a trained counselor. It doesn't understand, but it's going to let kids do these searches and come up with fluffy answers instead of, this is something that needs a human. This is something that needs adult supervision to get involved, someone who cares and sees what's happening. That's my biggest concern. This cheating angle is another concern, and it's huge, right? But even bigger than that is that this is a technology that isn't vetted, that gives biased information, that gives inaccurate misinformation at times, and there aren't sources to look at to say, oh, I trust this source or I don't. It just spits things out as you request it.
You said that better than I ever could, because, you know, we have my concern, put the cheating aside, that's how I think about that. We have this youth mental health crisis. It's well documented. And I'm concerned it will just feed more into that. Again, wherever there's good, you know, there's bad. Internet, there's a lot of good on the internet. We love it. There's a lot of bad. Now we've got this facing us. I know you believe in, I call them family digital partnerships, and you do as well. Tell us what that is. And you have templates for all of these things on your website that people can easily just replicate. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. You know, from a parenting side, we can only be the controller as a parent for so many years, right? We can have rules in place for what time bedtime is and really control what kids eat when they're young. As they get to be more independent, have more freedom, we go from having that level of control to being more influencers. And in order to be an influencer, you also have to have conversations and have dialogues where you're listening to what your kids want and need as well. So what I always recommend is a collaboration. Instead of, if you haven't had screen time rules until today, instead of saying, hey, kids, now we've got 2 hours a day and it's this time, and, you know, being very strict and regimented about when and where, having a family meeting and everybody gathering and saying, you know, this unlimited screen time isn't working for me. Can you help me think of some ways we as a family can limit this, can help us have some offline time to do things together, to connect, to have fun together? So it's always about the collaboration, and that comes before whether we're talking about online or offline stuff, collaboration, negotiation, and getting input from everyone in the family is what I believe it makes a successful screen time agreement or any kind of family agreement.
I love that, because I always say it's not, you know, us versus them. It's collaborative. And also, and you know this probably even better than I do, but the different groups I talk to and focus on, once the kids gain my trust, they're craving, you know, this attention at home. And they'll say things to me like, mom was busy on the phone, or dad told me to, you know, come back. He's on the computer. And our kids want us to get involved with them. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Absolutely. And even when they're snarling 13-year-olds and they say they don't want us, they still do want us, and we still can be an influencer in their lives. That's a point of hope that I want to say again and again. They still need us and want our guidance more than ever. We just have to change how we're doing it. If we're used to sort of setting the rules and them following the rules, that needs to shift to what you're saying, collaboration, talking more. We're preparing them for adulthood, and they need these skills of collaboration and negotiation to be successful young adults.
And that's why, everybody, centerforonlinesafety.com, Lisa has it all laid out for you. It is so easy, because Lisa, we always try to give this common sense is easy, so we can get, you know, everybody involved in this. So you have such great information on the website. I want to get into this digital detox you talk about, decreasing screen time. And also recently you're talking about FOMO and JOMO. Explain all this stuff to us. I love it.
So let's start with FOMO.
FOMO, okay.
Most of us know about FOMO. It's the fear of missing out, right? It's an acronym, the fear of missing out. And there's been studies recently about why kids have a hard time putting down phones. It's because they feel like they're going to miss out. They've got that sense of FOMO. My friends are going to be online when I'm not. And it causes them to need to check in all the time. That's a lot of where their social life is. So when we're asking them to do something revolutionary, like put their phones down for a while, it feels really bad because they're going to miss out on stuff. So to switch FOMO to JOMO, which is the joy of missing out, is really a mindset shift to appreciating what's right in front of you. That's family time, that's doing stuff together, that's putting phones down as a family, which means, you know, parents need to be involved in this also. So JOMO can be done both through the family and through agreements with your kids, friends, parents, and coming together as a community and saying, hey, in the morning, let's just have our kids keep the phones on the dining table. They get to check in at 11, or from 6 to 8 at night is family hour. And, you know, we choose as a community to have that be the thing. When you take that community and apply it to phones, kids don't feel so bad about missing out. All of a sudden, they're more involved in the family stuff. They're more involved in their other pursuits because they know they're not missing out. Nobody else is on it. So what do I care if I have my phone in front of me? They actually want time offline. They just don't want to miss anything, which we can relate to. We understand that.
We understand it, Lisa, because the parents are addicted as well. I mean, they're actually, you know this, there are studies. It's an addiction being online. There's also studies coming out that kids, when you take the phone away, it's worse for them, their mental health. So you've got to give them these devices, but be responsible, as you're pointing out. But, you know, going back to school, I just want to ask you, how can we get, I talk to a lot of people who they're starting in their communities. Again, there's nothing on a pretty much a state or a federal level about keeping phones out of schools. At least I've had parents say, well, but then they'll pick it up when they come out of the school. But we do know from the schools doing this already, at least for the 5 or 6 hours, however long they're there, it does make a difference. They're talking to each other, socializing more. They're focusing somewhat on their studies more. How can we go about this, keeping out the phones, you know, or rallying to get them out of the schools? What's your suggestion here?
Yes, my suggestion is to start today. Send a letter to the school board, send a letter to the principal and the superintendent. I've got a letter on my website that says, you know, based on this research, and you've even got research right there, based on this research, it is vital to kids' mental and physical health to give them some offline time. And if we value education, we need to put our money where our mouth is and stop this madness of the distraction of phones at school. There's no need for phones at school. And the schools that are taking phones away from the equation, kids are doing better. Like you said, their eyes are up, they're socializing in real time. The culture of the school is changing to be more inclusive because kids are paying attention to each other versus paying attention to their own phones or sharing screens back and forth. It's really important that we get back to that era of face-to-face when we can.
We have to. You know, first of all, Lisa, I want to thank you also. I don't want to be remiss in this. You did a beautiful, you sent out a newsletter and awareness that you'd be on today and promoted the Warriors. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. I come from, if we help one person a day, you know, raise awareness, share something, make a difference, then we're warriors. We've made a difference. So thank you for doing that. That meant a lot to me that you did that. Now, I got to talk to you about this because surely as part of that newsletter you sent out, and I read it, I have to admit, about 4 a.m, what is going on with Snapchat? They're getting, I read this wrong. You must have just typed this wrong. That, you know, CADCA, the Community Anti-Drug Coalitions of America, are awarding Snapchat the Humanitarian of the Year Award. I read this wrong. Am I correct? What is this?
Oh, you read it right. I wish you had read it wrong, and I wish it was not a fact. But at this point in time, they have been nominated and accepted Humanitarian of the Year Award from CADCA, which is all about anti-drugs. And I'm sure that you know all about how anti-humanitarian Snapchat is in a lot of ways when it comes to promoting drug dealers and exposing kids to all kinds of nonsense.
Talk about it a little bit. Give us some examples, you know, of what's going on that you want to share, because to me, it's a criminal enterprise. Those are my words, not yours, but.
Well, Snapchat is the place that kids can go to find drug dealers that will deliver drugs to their door, whether it is illicit drugs or prescription drugs that are counterfeit, that look identical to actual prescription drugs. Many of them have fentanyl in them because fentanyl is cheap. We know what fentanyl does. The tiniest amount can kill you. The reason this came to my attention is my friend Amy Neville, who lost her 14-year-old to a drug dealer on Snapchat. She now has the Alexander Neville Foundation and speaks publicly about Snapchat and the drug connection. She brought it to my attention, and I was baffled and horrified that Snapchat is the Humanitarian of the Year. It doesn't make any sense, and there's a petition designed to help CADCA see how unaligned this is with their mission.
I'm glad you brought up the petition, which, of course, I signed already.
Thank you.
Everybody, we have to sign that petition. Again, you can find that. You have it on your website, I assume, right?
I will put it there right after this. Yep.
Okay, put it there because I added it today on, I don't know, one of these platforms I have. I think it's Twitter or Facebook. I'm adding them all because it's like so much going on, right, Lisa? But people have to realize, they'll say, man, my name doesn't matter. Who am I? Can't fight the government, whatever they say. I'm sure you've heard all of these things. They have to realize, Lisa, every name counts. Every, you know, signing anything counts. I can't even say anything about Snapchat because when I read this, I was like, of course, I'm going to have to dig deeper here and look into it. what the heck is going on behind the scenes, or how can that even be? But I do think it's fair to say every single platform we use, our kids use, there's predation, there's things happening on every single platform. So I just want to throw that out there. It's like everybody's been, you know, talking extensively about TikTok. That's something good to ask you about. But I always point out all of the platforms have a lot of things going on. What do you have to say about TikTok?
TikTok is the most downloaded app in the world at this point. It took off during pandemic for us, and it is highly addictive. It is very sticky. I don't know if you have a presence on TikTok, but they are able to.
No.
The algorithm is super focused on who you are and what you will tolerate. So it keeps sending you things in your feed, short videos, things that it believes you will like all the other platforms. But somehow it knows within 2 hours. The Wall Street Journal did an expose a couple years ago on this. It can know exactly what you will and won't tolerate, what you will and won't look at after less than 2 hours. It knows you, and it knows what you will look at. And I say that really specifically, what you will look at, because it's not what you like necessarily. It's like a car crash. You will look at a car crash because it is horrifying. Sometimes it is something that you want to avoid. It's something on the side of the road. It's like that. They look at what you stop scrolling and keep your eyeballs on, because that makes them money. So all of these platforms, like you said, they have algorithms that do that. TikTok seems to be the stickiest, the easiest to stop, to not put down, or the easiest to get addicted to.
I call it low-hanging fruit, Lisa, because even from the beginning, of course, we're on all these platforms and we want to share information. I never wanted to go on TikTok. I am not interested in doing little dances to get attention, or putting up cute sayings, or, you know, just going crazy to get clicks and likes. That was like never my thing at all. I do realize when people say, why aren't you on there? It's the most downloaded, 1.5 billion monthly active users, some number like that. I'm just not interested. It is highly addictive. And that's, the kids like it. They're swiping and they're dancing and they're looking, but I find it so dangerous. Teachers, actually doctors too, have reported to me, you know, kids, their eyeballs and things, because they're swiping and they can't focus. They can't read and track now in schools because they're so used to their devices and holding them and just swiping to the next thing if they're bored, next. I think it's very dangerous, but all of these platforms, as we know, are dangerous. Finish us off with, what would you like to leave us with? What should we know about?
Ooh, that is a wide open question.
It's a loaded question. I could talk to you for hours, because just this kind of information is what, and we'll continue, Lisa, you know, I'll have you back. But, you know, people just need to hear these things are happening. People need to know, oh, I can go sign a petition, and that makes them feel good. You know, so that's what we want to do, like make them feel good. They did something and they're helping at the same time and learning for their kids. But right now we're in the summer. We want everybody to take a breather, you know, maybe get those, to put those devices down an hour a day or something. What do you want to tell everybody?
Yeah, let's go back to the digital detox. This is the perfect time of the year to be thinking about, how can I reduce screen time in my family? What can we do? I've got a gift for all of the listeners. When they sign up, they can get this list of 100 really creative offline activities that are mostly child driven that you don't need, you know, you don't need to be Martha Stewart to accomplish. So when your child says, I'm bored, after you take away their devices and, you know, you've agreed to 2 hours of screen free time, when they look at you and say, I'm so bored, you point to the list, you say, you know, I know you can find something on this list. If they say that list is stupid, say, let's modify it. Let's find 5 things on that we could modify and make yours. That is a great tool to have this summer. And it's a way to refocus. You know, some of our kids, they don't remember what it's like to be bored, and they don't have creative ideas at the ready. They are just bored and they want their screens back. They're probably angry too. So this is a way to redirect and say, hey, remember when it used to be okay to have some free time? And, you know, you could make a puppet, or you could go outside and make a chalk drawing, or an obstacle course. You know, there's a million ideas, but I've got over 100 of them on this activity sheet. That is a good place to start this summer for helping kids see what else there is as possibilities for what they could do.
I love that. And I'm telling friends of mine and people I deal with, you know, the kids can read a book, you know, the older kids. It doesn't hurt to give them a few little things of, you know, housework around the house, you know, to keep them going. And also, I get a lot of pushback with phones in the bedrooms. I'm always saying, get those phones out of the bedrooms. And parents say to me, yeah, but they scream, they sneak out, they you know, during the night when I'm sleeping, they take the phone. Finish us up with, because I'm very, get those phones out of the bedrooms at night. Not only is it dangerous, but the kids are, you know, lack of sleep. They're losing their sleep, and teachers are telling me they're coming to school and falling asleep on top of the desks. What do you say about that? Because I say, let the kids scream, even if they're 15 and 16. After a couple of weeks, the screaming will die down, but you have to kind of lead by example as well as the adult. You can't be on your phone in the bedroom and the kids aren't. What do you have to say about that?
Absolutely. The number one thing that parents can do today is get the phones out of the bedroom overnight. There is nothing good that can happen. You know, we're talking about youth mental health and what a crisis we're in. One of the reasons for that is lack of sleep. Over time, lack of sleep leads to mental problems. It leads to lack of clarity. It leads to all of these things. The easiest way that we can help with that is to take away that distraction, to take away the temptation. If they wake up in the night or they hear a notification, to take away that temptation. It is just standard practice to keep, it's best practice to keep phones out of the bedroom, as that is the number one thing that you and I can be telling people. If they say, I need an alarm clock and that's my alarm clock, you say, no, I'm going to go get you a $10 real alarm clock, because this cannot be your alarm clock any longer. It is not worth it.
And Lisa, they have $5 alarm clocks, so we can even lower the price and get them more involved, because I forgot. That's what people say to me. Oh, the kids use it as their alarm clocks and all that. I'm like, okay, well, we'll get an old-fashioned alarm clock, $5. Lisa Honnell, yeah. I don't know what to say. You are the founder and director at the Center for Online Safety. You have excellent, excellent writings, work, website. I want everybody out there to sign up for the newsletter, also on Facebook and Instagram. I am so happy that you joined us today. Thank you, Lisa, for your incredible expertise. You really are boots on the ground doing the real work, and I admire that so much. You're not talk, you are doing the real work, and you're a tremendous voice for teaching all of us about the realities and all of this escalation and exploitation online and in real time. But you're giving us such good information that's easy to follow, and it's common sense solutions and take actions. And please promise me you'll keep speaking up and speaking out, because we need you, the kids need you, and hopefully you'll come back and join me again soon, because there's lots more to talk about.
Absolutely. I promise I will continue to speak up, be that warrior. And yes, I want to talk with you again anytime.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Lisa. You are a true warrior. This is today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
In today's installment of White House Mystery Theater, we examine the case of the bouncing bump. Those paying attention over the holiday weekend here in America were surprised by the no-holds-barred, no-expense-spared, full-on hazmat response at no less an august address than 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Indeed, the White House was shut down from 17th to 18th Street and from Lafayette Park to the Ellipse, all because of a mysterious substance at first found in the library of the residence, which somehow, magically, perhaps via quantum mechanics, changed its location of discovery to a telephone cubby outside the visitor's entrance to the West Wing. Unfortunately, federal officials are apparently unaware of fingerprint technology, because they say, due to the high traffic nature of the location where the item was discovered, there's no possible way to track it to any individual. The substance in question? Cocaine hydrochloride, the medical grade of cocaine, available only to doctors, dentists, and those with high-powered connections. Surely it's just a coincidence that Hunter appeared to be doing a bump behind Dr. Jill Biden on the Truman balcony over the holiday weekend. This, like all other Biden crime family mysteries, is destined to go unsolved, despite everyone knowing the truth. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're with Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Let's do it, Warriors. The clock is ticking, and the clock is always my enemy in these final minutes right here on Lynn's Warriors. Again, an update, Sound of Freedom in movie theaters now. Angel.com is the studio. Please support, pay it forward. You know, they wanted to, leading into the release of the movie on July 4th, they wanted to sell or give away combined 2 million tickets. They are well over. They're up to 125% of what they were expecting in ticket sales. They're going way over and giving tickets out. And also their box office, they didn't expect it to go this high. Just hovering right now around 30 million. Of course, that is a figure from very early this morning. So I'm sure it's higher weekend. People are going word of mouth. Judge it for yourself. Don't believe anything you read. Just go. It starts the conversation about the realities of trafficking of children. When did it become okay in the United States to think of kids as the product? They can work in factories. They can, you know, serve liquor to who knows what kind of adults these are hanging out in bars. It's okay they don't go to school. You know, not all kids are cut out for regular academics, especially as they get, you know, past the middle school years. Then why aren't we putting our focus on trade schools? With the advent of this AI, artificial intelligence, and artificial general intelligence, AGI, coming right at us, it's right there. I mean, I see it right in front of me. Why aren't we having trade schools where the kids can learn different things like woodworking, construction? I know plumbers that are making a tremendous amount of money. Trades that cannot be taken over by robots. I mean, I guess you could have a robot build a building. I'll leave that for another show. But you can't have copper wiring and learning all those kind of techniques. I don't think. And remember, as of now, all of this AI is being introduced slowly. It's already been here, you know, in children's storybooks. You know, press a button and you'll hear a voice. Or all of these chat bots they're talking about right now on Meta, M-E-T-A, which is Facebook and Instagram. That's the company now. Mark Zuckerberg thought he could fool everybody and rename it Meta last year because it was coming down with a lot of lawsuits and a lot of things happening on Facebook. Just remember, with the good platforms, you know, the internet, we're not giving it back. There's bad. With AI coming and here, there's bad. But listen to Lisa Honnold. I'm going to spell that H-O-N-O-L-D, founder and director, Center for Online Safety. Again, centerforonlinesafety.com. Wealth of information, free information, great information to keep you engaged, take actions, and easy to understand. You know, I want everybody to think it's 2023. I don't want to keep hearing how it used to be when I was a kid or remember when. That's all great, everybody. But now think culture shift. And it is speeding up. I know you all see this. It's right in front of us. And when did kids, you know, when did it become in our society, it's okay to normalize the sexualization of our children? Because it is happening every single front, from the schools across America to the medical society with all of this transgender talk and happening. A lot of different things. The culture of entertainment is so sexual. It is horrific. And this is what our kids are looking at and watching. It's up to you. It's about honest and open communication. It's about, these are the realities, age appropriate, you know, don't scare the kids. It's about taking a stand. I don't care, house.gov, senate.gov, always lynnswarriors.org for information. Write to your elected officials. You heard what Lisa Honnold said from Center for Online Safety. Snapchat, Two clicks, you can buy drugs and have them delivered to your home. And the kids are doing that. And a lot of kids are dying of fentanyl because the drugs today are dangerous. They're cut with fentanyl, or by mistake in the labs where they're making the other drugs, it's not very clean. So it's so deadly, the ingredients of fentanyl, that it's being mixed in. We just heard about the death of even Robert De Niro's grandson, 19 years old, found in a chair. Don't really know the story on that, but 19 years old. You don't die in a chair. And then his mom said it was from fentanyl. I don't know the true story, but that's what was put out in the media. And so we have to really watch our kids. They have become very vulnerable. They have become very, I dare say, soft. And it's our job. Now, who could blame the kids? They're being deluged with algorithms online, with comparing themselves to other kids. So we have to take action and engage, educate, and empower them. And we can do it because community creates change. I'm angry about all of this, and you should be as well. So remember, up to us. Thank you for listening. Write to us at tntradio.live. We're here for you. Thank you always to Alex, our engineer on the board, for keeping all running smoothly. Ruckus, our producer, our entire TNT family, for giving us this platform each and every week to share this critical and crucial information you need to know. Until we meet again, always go to lynnswarriors.org. Remember, today's news talk, TNT Radio, all the time. And it's 2023. We can no longer sit on the sidelines, everybody. Take action. Community creates change. Remember, each and every day, go out there and be a warrior. Mm-hmm.